Now, in preparing this sermon, there has been a couple of changes. Like the sermon title, which at first was, you saw it on your bulletins, "Get Rid of That Monkey." And it was because I was getting some ideas from a movie. Do you guys remember hearing this in some movie? Which movie was that? I heard it, yeah. Toy Story 3. Get Rid of That Monkey. And that monkey represented the person, that monkey that had the clashing cymbals, that was actually trying to be the guard so that those toys would not get out and that anybody would try to come in and save them, like Woody. Any of you saw Toy Story 3? Okay. And that monkey was the one that was almost like a distractor, or almost the one that would just kill the party. Today, I want you to get rid of the monkey. That monkey that tries to get rid of or not let the peace of God, the perfect peace, be with you in this morning. Are you following me? And with that, I just wanted to say what a great celebration we had last week. Easter Sunday was so amazing. It was so beautiful. That was awesome. Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
Now, who says that we have to live like if Easter has long gone? Who says that the celebration is over? Nobody. Somebody say amen. It's not over. Somebody say it's not over.
Not over.
It is not over. I know that after, like Don started saying, after Easter, like we have people going back to work. People went back to work. Now the travelers are not vacationing anymore. The kids, they're back to school. The college people are back to the colleges. And well, life is back to normal. Now, here's what I like about this week's gospel reading, Barbara. It kind of shoots us back to the very first Easter evening, which is a good way to start the Sunday after Easter. And let's not forget what the disciples had been going through. Let's not forget that the disciples had just witnessed Jesus being apprehended. Let's not forget that these were the same disciples that had just witnessed seeing so many other things, that had heard, that had seen the pinning of Jesus to the cross. You heard also last week in the sermon where there was some kind of running around, right? But Peter and the other guys, you know, and Mary running around. Jesus was not in the tomb. The tomb was empty. Jesus was supposedly risen. Did they understand? Did they actually understand what this all meant? And then when we see this gospel reading this morning, and it starts by saying where they were congregated, these disciples in closed doors again, okay? You have to think, it's not surprising. Just try to imagine what they were feeling, these disciples. Not all of them were aware of everything that was happening. These disciples were gathered, and they had been together for a while, but they were gathered hoping to find consolation, some of them maybe, and safety for each other. They feared the religious leaders, the ones that they saw kill their leader, their rabbi. They were afraid. They must have doubted what could be of their own future, what the destiny might behold. And they were indeed afraid, locked in. And many of them might have felt that their lives were turned upside down. Have any of you ever felt like your life has been, you know, turned upside down? Hello. Does it feel right when you feel that way? Doesn't it feel kind of confusing? Doesn't it feel kind of intimidating? Doesn't it feel scary? Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Yes, it does. And then something happens. Now, miraculously, something incredible happened. Totally unexpected, Jesus appears to these disciples, appears among them and offers them the one thing he could offer them, and that was peace. Somebody say peace. And this was no special effect, okay? This was not Hollywood's movie of a ghost or anything like that. It was not somebody's imagination. It was Jesus himself that was there, that was present, that was alive. Somebody say amen. Amen. Now, he showed them that he was the real deal, the real thing. He even showed them what? The nails, right? The holes that he had. He showed him his feet, his hands. He really was alive. And he was there. Hallelujah. He actually breathed on them, the word says. He breathed on them, giving them the Holy Spirit. He told them that they would go out and bring peace. Hallelujah. He was sending them out to take a message out to the world, which was a message of his death, but also of his resurrection. And not only that, he was telling them to go out and give a message of forgiveness. Hallelujah. The forgiveness that we should all be telling the world about. The entire world. The message of God's love. The message of God's forgiveness is Christ. In Christ is truly a good news. Somebody say, we have good news today. All people are created with many things, many gifts. All of you, you're all beautiful people. Go ahead and tell your neighbor, you're beautiful. Hallelujah. Go ahead and show them all your teeth and smile. Now, you know, we are fortunate to be people that were created with something else. Now, Jesus showed these disciples the holes in his hands, the holes in his feet, but we were created with a God-sized hole in our lives that only God can fill. Hallelujah. Amen. Amazingly, we know that God has put a place in our lives that is there for him to take ownership of. But he needs you to let that happen. By faith. By faith, we have to let that happen because God is willing to fill that hole. We and a lot of other people are looking for peace in this world. We were a couple of weeks ago in our what do they call that again? When we had our sermons with the Lent season, we talked about looking for love in all the wrong places. But sometimes we look for peace in all the wrong places. And some people are looking for that peace and ease of mind in drugs, in money, in sex, and in many other ways. But the God, without God filling that special place in our hearts, that special place that only belongs to him, we will continue to feel empty. We may even continue to feel afraid or intimidated. We may even think about it and say, what am I missing? Have you ever felt in your life? Because I know, I remember when I was trying to live without God and I was full of stuff. Hey, believe me, full of stuff. I thought I had a lot of friends. I thought I had a lot of things. I thought I had it all. I had the beautiful wife I still have today. Look at how beautiful she is. Mwah, baby. I'm going to get 5 points for that one. I had it all. But the one thing I understood when I fell to when I went to sleep in my bed and I look up to the ceiling and I said, something is not right in here. I know I have a lot of things. I know that God has given me so many things, but I don't have a relationship with God. I have not let God come into His room and just say, okay, this is where I stand. This is where I belong. I did not open up that room for Him. And I was feeling kind of empty. Now, Thomas, poor Thomas, now gets the rep of the doubtful guy, and some people don't understand that necessarily that's not a bad thing. Because I question God a lot. I could almost see God, why are you asking so much question, Tito? Tom, you do the same thing, don't you? Yes. It's okay to ask questions, because that's all part of faith, my friends. Like Thomas, we have, my friends, all the evidence we need in order to believe that Jesus is alive. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
That our sins, they are forgiven. That we are called to believe in Him. That we are called to just surrender to Him. But we often demand more. We often want a little bit more proof. We want answered prayers, but we want it
now.
Hallelujah. And then we forget that the Lord has a different clock, watch, whatever. And He doesn't necessarily answer now, but He answers right at the right time. Not too early, not too late, right on time when you really need it. Hallelujah. My friends, in the midst of our fear, worries, concerns, how many of you have had any of this? Okay? In the midst of distress, Jesus is still appearing in our lives. In special moments, He's still appearing in our lives. You may not see it so clearly, but He is standing there. In the midst of whatever you're going through, He's right there. He has His hands up. He has everything you want to see. And He's, look at me. I am here with you. You are not alone. And I will make you victorious.
Oh.
In the midst of anything that we've been going through, His grace is still willing. His love is still willing to come in and fill our lives. To be what we need Him to be. Do you want a Savior? Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Got a Savior for you. Do you want a helper? Amen.
Amen.
I got a helper for you. Do you want a companion? Amen?
Amen?
I got a companion for you, my friends. If you want it all in a good package, that is what I am presenting to you. You could take this to the bank. You could cash it in. This is guaranteed. God will be there for you today, tomorrow, tomorrow, the next day, after tomorrow, always and forever. Any time, any moment, the connection will not go away. The reception will always be good. Just call upon Him. Open up your eyes. Get rid of that monkey. The one that is distracting you. The one that doesn't let you see clearly. So when your lives, when you encounter in your lives illness, when you encounter death of loved ones, when you have those worries, worries of every kind, we remain steadfast in our faith. And the God who is still saying to each and every one of us, peace, peace, peace. Remember, wherever Jesus is, there is also perfect peace. Wherever Jesus is with us, we are with Him. There is perfect peace in the presence of the Lord. May the confident hope of the psalmist, the one that says, "In thy presence, O Lord, is the fullness of joy and pleasures forevermore," go with you always, be with you always, that you never forget that you're not alone and that God is always there right by your side. May God bless you all.